السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: النكاح من سنتي. وقد قال: فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, you have just witnessed three nikahs taking place. The three nikahs did not take us more than 5 minutes. That's how simple Shariat made nikah. Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as I always mention, was rahmatul lil alameen, mercy unto the worlds. So if he was a mercy unto the worlds, then he must be a mercy for all, rich or poor, black or white, weak or strong, even mercy for the animals and creatures. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's mercy knew no bounds and no limits. So how can he make something which he declares as his way of life, as his sunnat, something upon which he emphasizes, places great stress, encourages the ummah to undertake, in other words, the nikah, how can he make that a difficult thing for the ummah? It just cannot be difficult, because he declares it as his way. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's way is for the people until the day of judgment. All types of people in different situations. So Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam made nikah an extremely simple and an easy thing. There was no requirement and no need for any city hall or town hall or any other big ground or space. Juma day you have a built, ready-built crowd. In the presence of witnesses there is ijab and qubul, proposal and acceptance, and that is nikah. Some meher is fixed. So simple and so easy. Everything else that we have added on, we have made our own lives miserable. We have made it so difficult, brothers, believe me, that there are so many people, they want to get their daughters married. But the moment they think of the daughter's marriage or the son's marriage, then they immediately think of the costs that will be involved. And they cannot manage one daughter once in 10 years. So who is making life difficult? We are making it difficult for ourselves. But when the rich are going to have lavish nikahs and walimas, then the poor will try to emulate. Then they will go to the banks, they will go and borrow money on interest, and they will indulge or they will land themselves in serious problem. And even the rich, in just trying to show to the people that I invited 1,000 people or 2,000 people, they spend hundreds of thousands of rands. And it is so frightening these days, brothers. I'm in the masjid and I'm telling you from the depth of my heart, not as criticism of any person or any family, because I don't even know who and what and all the details. But it becomes so frightening when hundreds of thousands of rands are spent on one wedding, whether this marriage is going to last or not. And if it ends within a week or a month or two, as is happening so frequently nowadays, we are dealing with cases in society and we have got our finger on the pulse. We know exactly what is happening. When these marriages end after that, within a month or two, or 6 months or 8 months or a year, then there is so much of animosity, so much of hatred, so much of violence and everything that goes with it. Why? Because it is not the marriage that has broken down which has caused so much of grief and suffering and pain. It is that 1 million rand or that 100,000 or 500,000 which has gone down the drain. Cases at courts, we do not know what to do. We try to resolve by arbitration and mediation, it doesn't work. So what I am trying to get across to you, my dear brothers, with great love and feeling for you, is that come down, step down. If you try to compete in going up, you will never be able to compete with everybody in the world. The marriage of Lady D to Charles, what they spent on that marriage, how many of us can spend that much? So who are we going to compete with? But in coming down, making things simple, and remember and believe me that your respect and the honor lies in making things simple. When a person does a lavish feast for these marriages and walimas, which were simple things, and things that I get name and fame and respect and honor, then he is living in fool's world. Listen to the comments of people after having all that biryani and after having had a good entertainment. That what do they say? That these people in these times when people are dying of starvation and hunger, when people don't have shelter above their heads, when their own neighborhood there are so much of shacks and so much of poverty and so much of weakness, at that time how can these people even spend so much and show to the people that this is what we have spent on this wedding? Just to unite two people, just to get one man and one woman together, we spend 1 million rand. So Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he says that it is my way, then his way will be the simple way. Ashal ajmal akmal. Allah. As you have heard many times, that Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam's way will be ashal, very easy. Ajmal, great beauty in it. And akmal, the perfect way. You will never find anything better than that. We are not saying that it is haram to invite people to meal. In fact, the Sahaba-i-Kiram, sometimes they fed thousands of people. One person fed thousands of people. But that feeding was not in walimas and weddings. That feeding was not just for name and fame and show. Read about those feedings of the people by the Sahaba-i-Kiram, by the great awliya. Thousands of deegs were cooked. But for whom? For people who were trying to learn deen. For people who had got together for the sake of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then there they were feeding and they were feeling happy about it. Because there was no formality in those feedings. When it's a feeding at a wedding occasion and you extend invitation to 1,000 people, then 1,000 people, imagine how many of them will have to fulfill the desires of their wives and children, that they have a new suit, have a new shoe, have a new tie, and have new clothes, and sometimes they even demand that we must go in a new car. If we go in our van, then they will laugh at us. So how much of expenditure is it we have involved others in? Because there's a formality now. So we are not going to be able to compete in going higher. But our honor, our respect will come when we are going to simplify. Then the person will say, look at that man, he's got millions. He spent his money in good causes. He said that this wedding occasion, I am going to spend the least. And the money that I'm going to save now, I'm not going to just deposit it in the bank and keep on collecting it and be happy that I've got a big bank balance. From there now, what he has saved, he will use in good causes. There are so many good causes. And the person will be respected for that. The honor will be in that. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, therefore, is reported to have said, "Inna azaman nikahi barakatan aysarahu ma'una." The best nikah barakat-wise, if we want barakat in the marriages, then the best nikah is that nikah in which the least expenditure is incurred. The least expenditure. The least difficulty upon both parties. I mentioned in one of my nikah talks, but there's a new audience, therefore it costs nothing to repeat, that the beauty of Islam is that it hasn't left any department of life uncovered. It hasn't left out nikah, trade, anything that a person will come in contact with in his lifetime. Right from birth until death, Shariat has discussed every aspect in detail. And if you look at the kitabs of the jurists and the fuqaha, then we get surprised at how many masail they deduced from those Quranic ayats and those verses and those hadiths. So that if there is anything that we want to know, then we can find it in the books. So how can marriage be something that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which he declares as his way of life, and leaves undiscussed? So how many parties do we have to a marriage in general? We have the first of all, before the marriage, we have the young person or the prospective bride and the prospective groom, those who are intending to get married or those who have the ability to get married. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gives a direction to them and tells them what they should do. تُنْكَحُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِأَرْبَعٍ لِمَالِهَا وَلِحَسَبِهَا وَلِجَمَالِهَا وَلِدِينِهَا فَاسْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Now that's the direction to those people who have got the ability, they've got the money, they've got the strength, they've got the physical health, and they've got the wealth, and they've got everything that's required, which is necessary for maintaining a family, for marrying. So when these people have got such type of ability, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam first of all addresses them that those who have got the ability to marry, man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawwaj, then they should get married. And if they cannot get married for some reason or the other, they do not have the ability, do not have the strength, then what they should do, they should fast. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then addresses those people that are looking for brides, that people generally marry for four reasons. They marry the arba'in li maliha, for the wealth of the woman, family status, beauty, or her piety, her good character, her deen. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gives direction that look at the deen of that woman. Generally, if you have to look at what do the women go around looking for in a prospective bride, for the groom when they are searching, for that young person when they are looking for a bride, they go around or they tell the person that there's a very nice girl that I found for you. What do they see in that nice girl besides the beauty? The first thing that they look for is beauty. Whereas we are not saying you must not look for beauty. Your heart must also click. We are not saying that just go and choose any ugly woman and then get married, because if there's no compatibility, then there's going to end. But the first thing that you should look for is deen. What is her character like? That you can find out from the family members, from her friends. If she's going to have good character, she's going to have deen, then she will make a good housewife. And if she does not have that, then the life will become miserable in the home. Beauty is a thing that fades. It withers. It's like the beautiful rose flower, but it will not be there all the time. Age will catch up. Teeth will fall off. If this marriage was just for beauty, then it will end in the rocks. Most of the marriages that are ending, it was because it was just for beauty. I mentioned in one of my majlises and talks that Lady D, when she was before the accident, the whole world was portraying her as the most beautiful woman. But did anybody see a picture of her after the accident? Did any newspaper give a picture of hers after the accident? Why not? We must think. So all these women who are pretty and beautiful, it is just the color of the skin. Let the Miss World get third degree burn in an accident and then see if the camera crew still follow her. So if they were, it was true love, then why did they all disappear like mules? So look for deendari first. What is the character of this woman? Then you can look at all the other things. There's no time to go into detail. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave some direction with regards to that, the choice of the bride. When it comes to the groom side, what are the people told? What is the family told? إِذَا خَطَبَ إِلَيْكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ فَزَوِّجُوا إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوهُ تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ عَرِيزَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. That when a proposal is put from a boy with whose character you are satisfied, with whose deen you are happy and satisfied, that he's an honest person, he's a truthful person, he's a namazi, he has got good character, he hasn't got anger in him. A person can be even an alim, he can be a mufti, he can be a qari, but if he's very temperamental and his fuse blows very quickly, then don't give your daughters to such person in marriage, even though he's got plenty of ilm. And this is the teaching of our great Akabir. So you have to look at that what is the temperament of this person. So if you are satisfied that this person who has put a proposal for our daughter, he's of good nature, he's a good Muslim, he's a practicing Muslim, he's got deen in him, he's got akhlaq in him, then give your daughter to him. If you are not going to do that, it's going to create widespread dissension on earth and fitnas will arise. How much of fitnas are arising when a girl receives a good proposal? She is also very interested, not because of anything else, but because of his deen and his character. And when such proposals are turned down, it creates dissension, creates disunity, it creates friction, creates a lot of problems in the society. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave that direction to them. Then the both parties will be involved now in undertaking the marriage. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, "Inna azaman nikahi barakatan aysarahu mauna." That the best nikah, barakat and blessing wise, is that nikah in which the least expenditure is incurred. The least problem, the least difficulty for both parties. And then the whole list of rights of the wife and the rights of the husband. So many things have been mentioned in the Hadith Sharif. Why is it that every home today seems to be having World War 3 and 4? Just no happiness, no peace, no tranquility, no joy. Marriages have become just a plaything. The sanctity of marriage seems to have been lost. I mentioned in my other nikah talks lots of things. Whatever comes to mind now, I'm just going to try to condense it. That if we have to look at the causes, what are the causes? There are many, many causes. But I'm sitting in the masjid with wuzu and on a Jummah day. So I cannot tell you lies. That now I have ample evidence in my possession. Ample evidence. Not one case, not two cases. Ample, plenty of cases. Where people who were indulging in watching all kinds of video films, porn films, reading filthy magazines, and the husband, he was having his way in the bazaars, in the marketplaces, in his shop, in his business, where he was involved with his secretaries and everybody else. And on this side, the wife, if she was pious, that she was a namazi, but her piety was only limited to namaz. Otherwise, she too was watching all the filth on the television screen and admiring those actors and actresses and those monkeys on the screen. So what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does is He creates a friction. The husbands and wives then begin to hate each other. Endless amount of problems between the husband and wife. And I am telling you that when the people gave up these sins, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala put love between the husbands and wives' hearts. Marriages which were on the verge of breaking down, there was no way that we could have salvaged it outwardly. But after a little bit of investigation, and after they had started attending some good dini programs, and they made sincere tawbah from their sins, then those marriages not only survived, but they have reported and they have written to me, Mawlana, it is as if we just got married recently. Once they gave up those sins. Now this is the major cause, whether we like to believe that there is a link between it or not, it is left to us. But I am telling you that the moment we are going to cast our glances at all the other women on the streets and admire their beauty or watch all the filth on the television screen, then you must be prepared for World War 2 and 3 and 4 in the houses. And if somebody is not having it now, then sooner or later it will start. But once the person gives up his sins, the wife also gives up her sins, and they start fulfilling the rights of each other, then there's bound to be unity and happiness in that marriage. There must be. Shariat, if Quran Sharif tells us the purpose of marriage, what is the purpose of marriage? What does the Quran Sharif tell us? Can anyone ever say, if he's a Muslim, that na'uzu billah, I believe in the whole Quran Sharif, but not this particular ayat? What does Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says? وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. The gist of which is this, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants us to find peace and sukoon in that marriage. That marriage must give us peace, it must give us sukoon, it must give us happiness, it must give us contentment, satisfaction. And Allah ta'ala put this love into the hearts of the husband and the wives for each other. And He put mercies, shafqat, muhabbat, rahmat. Now if these ingredients are missing, then there is something wrong. Then there is something wrong and we have to go and diagnose it, that where have we gone wrong. Therefore, in the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, I cannot give you all the details, but where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala then mentions, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. And fear Allah in whose name you ask for your rights. Taqwa is the main thing, that you must fear Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in whose name you are asking for your rights. That these are my rights, you are my wife, so this is my right. So in the same way, you must also fear Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, in whose name you are asking for your right, you must also fulfill the right of the others. The other person has also got a right. So the people want the wives to fulfill their rights, but they are not prepared to fulfill the rights of the wives. So then there's going to be friction and disunity. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was rahmatul lil alameen, and he was the closest to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. After Allah, he was the greatest. Now imagine what enjoyment, what satisfaction, what he must have been getting in his contact with Allah. Angels used to come and visit him and go. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, Mikael alayhi salatu wasalam, so many angels used to visit him. He himself, he had a state, every night he used to be in a certain state where nobody could come between him and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He did not even recognize his own wife on that occasion. Allah. But at other times, look at his attitude, look at his life within the home. How caring, how loving. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the wife said, he always came smiling into the house with all the gham of the ummat. But when he came into the house, he made salam and he came in smiling. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam helped his wives within the home. He didn't say, I am Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, I've got a very high status and position, how can I assist you and help you in your ordinary household cause? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came right down. He humbled himself. He joked with his wives. He provided for them maintenance for a whole year. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he had the greatest tawakkul in Allah, the greatest trust in Allah. But he gave them their whole year's provision. Read the Hadith Sharif. But those wives were such that they did not want to keep more than a day's. Sometimes they gave away even that too. But he didn't deprive them. Those people who say must trust in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and leave the wives, they can provide for themselves. So if that was the case, why did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam provide for his wives? Tawakkul means you must tie the camel and then trust in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam goes into the battle of Uhud, he has coat of arms and in fact two. Why did he go? Did he not have trust in Allah Ta'ala? So if somebody carries a gun, does it mean he's got no trust in Allah Ta'ala? What it means is that you must not trust in that weapon, you must trust in Allah Ta'ala. But make use of the means that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has provided. When a person is hungry, then he must say, well, if Allah Ta'ala wills, he will fill my belly with food. But nobody does that. Food is a means of filling one's belly and killing hunger. When a person is thirsty, he drinks water. When you want to travel from here to somewhere, then you make necessary arrangement to travel. You make use of the means that Allah Ta'ala has created. But you must not trust in those means, because we do not know whether that car is going to take us to our destination or it's going to take us to the graveyard. We do not know when we set out from our homes in the morning whether we are going to earn a million and return home, or we will be the next candidate for Brook Street Cemetery. So we must not trust in those means. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he gave us such beautiful direction with regards to our marriages and weddings and walimas. So if we are saying it is a sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it's a teaching of Islam and Sharia, then it is an ibadat. And for every ibadat there are rules and regulations. Jummah salat we have come for, we will be making two rakats for Jummah. And yet every day we make four rakats for Zuhr. Then again in the wuzu, there were certain farais, certain things were sunnat, certain things were mustahab. In the same way in our namaz we will be reading, there are certain wajibat, there are certain farais, there are certain sunnat, certain mustahabbat. No. So in the same way in nikah also there are certain farais, certain wajibat, certain sunnats. Now we leave all those things and we go towards complete haram from the very day that we get married. Day one haram. indulgence in haram from day one. Very few bridegrooms make the Fajr namaz, even if they were five-time namazis. So what I am saying is that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he declared this to be his way. Shariat has given us direction. If we are going to follow that direction, it is the duty of the groom to read what are the rights of the wife. And it's the duty of the wife to read up what are the rights of the husband. And then it is the duty of the husband to have an accommodating, a large heart and forgive and overlook as much as he can. He must not expect that wife to be like a slave in his care, under him. That's about the only thing that husbands know now. Most of the time when we are handling cases, they will say, well, these are my rights. Indeed, they are the rights. We are not denying it. But I ask them a simple question when the wife is not there, that you give me a solution to the problem. You are demanding your right, that she must do this A, B, C, D. And she is not fulfilling those rights. So what other solution is there except divorce? Now what about the children? What about the marriage itself? So be a little accommodating, overlook, forgive. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what a large heart he had. He even forgave his enemies. So if the wife hasn't done something or the other which has displeased us, and look at the thousands of other things which he has done which has pleased us. Brothers, when we talk to the wives, we talk differently, but when we talk to the husbands and the men, we talk differently. That if only we had to put a price tag or a value on the services which our wives have rendered to us. We cannot put a price tag. We cannot put a value. When we employ a person, we pay him 2,000, 4,000, 5,000. Just from 8 to 5, he does some work and we pay him that much salaries. And in fact, some people are doing hardly anything. They just put a few signatures on some checks and they get big, big salaries because they're executive directors. This wife, who from the morning till the evening, she's sometimes at the stove, sometimes at the washing machine, sometimes at the drying and spinning machine, sometimes she's in the yard, sometimes she's caring for the children, sometimes she's changing the napkins of the children day and night. The husband says, I've got to go and work in the morning, so he goes and sleeps in another room. She does so much. And if one day the food was not ready in time, then this husband's temper knows no limit. Begins to slap her, hit her, beat her. It hurts, it makes us cry when we hear of husbands beating up their wives into pulp. Just for what? Just because the food is not ready in time. Or when the husband came, then he did not have his clothes ready or something like that. Or she was a little delayed. They don't see that this woman has got half a dozen children. She's got 3-4 children to care for. And she's got so much of other household work. And they just want to give vent to the anger all the time. Anger, anger. Everybody is angry. All the anger of the outside world is taken out in the house. And the major cause, brothers, believe me, the major cause is this gaze of ours which has fallen on other faces. We are not enjoying life with our wives anymore because we have given our hearts to some other haram woman. So if we are displeased with something or the other, then there are so many other things that she has done which should please us. Therefore, we should accommodate, we should forgive, we should learn to have a large heart and believe that whatever patience and sabr we will exercise in this route, it will increase our stages, elevate our position, make us more closer to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Hazrat Mirza Jana Jan Rahmatullah Alayh, he had a very cheeky wife. But he says that whatever Allah ta'ala has blessed me with, he has blessed me because of all the patience and sabr that I exercise over whatever problem she gives to me. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to understand the Quran, to understand the Sunnah, and to implement it in our lives. Amen. Don't let us just look at positions of honor that the government gives to somebody and say that this is a very good person. We have to see what is his behavior with his children, with his wife, with his family. Does he fulfill their rights? Zafar usko aadmi na janiyega, goho kaisa hi sahibe fehmo zaka. Zafar usko aadmi na janiyega, goho kaisa hi sahibe fehmo zaka. Jise aish mein yaad-e khuda na raha, jise taish mein khauf-e khuda na raha. No matter what kind of position he has got, he may be minister, he may be prime minister, he may be cabinet minister, he may be king, he may be ruler, he may be doctor, lawyer, teacher, mufti, qari, whatever he is, whatever kind of post he has got. But don't even consider him as a human being if, when he is blessed with ni'mats, he is given gifts by Allah Ta'ala, plenty of ni'mats, at that time he forgets Allah. He forgets the giver of those ni'mats. The one who gave him health, the one who gave him sight, the one who gave him speech and hearing, the one who gave him wealth and property, he forgets that Allah. He indulges in every type of disobedience using the same gifts given by that Allah. So don't even consider him a human being. Or when he is angry, he does not fear Allah Ta'ala. In that anger, then he is beating up his wife, he is beating up his children, he is beating up his servants, or he is swearing, he is cursing. It is as if he has turned into a lion or a wolf or an animal. So he says, Zafar, don't even consider that person a human being. Muslim is far away. Don't even consider him a human being. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all akhlaq, muamlat, muasharat like that of Rasulullah and many sahabas. May he bless all these marriages that took place. May Allah ta'ala bless them with long life, good health, happiness, satisfaction, contentment, peace. And Allah ta'ala unite their hearts in love and muhabbat and affection for each other. And may Allah give them the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of their wives, and give the tawfiq to their wives to fulfill their rights, and make their marriages a means of the coming into this world of pious and righteous children. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.